Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, drama casting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and other leading podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. And joining me live in an inner radio exclusive from Los Angeles, Mr. Chucky himself, the executive producer, writer, and director of Chucky, the television series now in its second simulcast season on Sci-Fi and USA Network, Don Mancini. Don, it is a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
And Don will be with us for most of the first half hour. And if you have a question or comment for him, ring that phone, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. There's also another way to get involved in the show. That's our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn screen. Other people can be live with you when you connect with them. Coming up in our second half hour, we will be going here to New York, and I'll be speaking with Jerry Leo. He is Canela Media's chief content officer. He's also the executive producer of their new entertainment news program happening on their flagship service, Canela TV, called Tone Canelo. He will join us in our second half hour. In the meantime, we will have more with Don in a second, but first, we have a very big breaking news note. Netflix is all systems go on starting a U.S. lower price ad-supported version November 3rd, known as Netflix Basic with Ads. The service will cost $6.99 a month, or $3 from the ad-free price, and run 4 to 5 minutes of commercials per hour. Individual ads will be 15 or 30 seconds in length at the start. Basic with ads will be offered in 12 countries, starting November 1st in Canada and Mexico. So once again, that Netflix ad-supported tier has been talked about for a long time. It finally will happen next month. We don't know yet which advertiser will be on board. Netflix did a conference call with some members of the press. We were not on that call. It was virtual. And we will see what happens. Again, Netflix starting their ad-supported format in November, or on November 3rd. We'll have news note quickies for you at the bottom of the hour. Don, second season now for Chucky. How's it going so far?
So far, so good. We just had episode 2 air tonight. I know our ratings for episode 1 were really good, and as were our reviews. So seems like people are digging it so far. So fingers crossed as we continue to move forward.
When you talked about reviving Chucky as a television series, you said at the time that you wanted it to be more than just a horror show. You wanted to touch on some unique themes that, in your estimation, deserve to be said. I think the first year was about the gay and lesbian community. What's the big theme this year that you're exploring with this set of episodes?
Well, this year we are satirizing specifically, I guess, the Catholic Church, but more generally just the notions of how various, you know, I guess, official spiritual institutions regard the gay community, because that's, you know, that's something that affected me as a gay kid growing up in the 70s and 80s who was raised Catholic. It, you know, it's a very discombobulating experience to be told by your parents, your spiritual authority figures, all of that, to be told that you're wrong. It's, you know, that's, as you can imagine, it's a hard road to hoe. And so I wanted to address that and sort of, you know, continue to look at these young teenage gay boys and just to give the show just a bit of a whiff of real life pain, frankly, is one of the things I wanted to do with both seasons 1 and 2, because I think that helps it resonate and makes it more interesting. I think this, you know, sort of the naturalism of these, of this sweet teenage romance that happens to be between two boys, offset besides the insanity and mayhem of Chucky and Tiffany and Jennifer Tilly, I just think that's an interesting combination for a television show, and seems like people are liking that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. I've seen the previews of the opening episodes, and quite a few members of the church, or at least some, get theirs, if you will, at least early on, from what I can suspect. Is that the case?
Yes. Yes, I think I had, you know, a few scores to settle. But it wasn't just me. I mean, there were actually a number of people both behind and in front of the camera who were in a similar position as I was, as lapsed Catholic. So I think a lot of people on the show had, you know, similar chips on their shoulder, and we wanted to get a bit of revenge. But, you know, all of that said, it was important for us not to depict these characters as merely the bad guys, or even the church as the bad guy, because I think the situation is more complex than that. And frankly, just in terms of like the drama, that would have been too easy. So I hope that people will be gratified and surprised to see that it doesn't get quite so black and white as you might expect in a Chucky show.
Mm-hmm. What did you learn about doing the first season that you applied to the second season, or that you introduced in this season?
Gosh, well, let's see. One of the first things that occurs to me is that when I first pitched the show to the network, it was more anthological in nature. I mean, with what you saw in season one was substantially what I pitched, but the idea initially was that we would sort of round out and come to a close the stories of these teenage characters. If we were lucky enough to get picked up for season two, we would just begin again with a new group of characters, and our holdovers would be the so-called legacy cast of Chucky and Tiffany, Andy and Kyle, and Fiona Dorff as Nika. But as we were shooting, you know, so like I think we all on the show and at the network and the studio fell in love with these kids and their acting abilities, and that the characters that they were bringing to the screen. And so that prompted me to sort of revise my plans with, you know, everyone's agreement and support that we wanted to bring these kids back and continue to follow those characters' stories and see how the next step in their lives, now that they've gone from 14 to 15 or 16, and to see what, you know, life is like life for them. So that was one lesson that I applied. And I think that separately, our first season shot in the early days of the pandemic. And so we were one of the first shows to attempt to do that under those conditions and those protocols that are necessary to keep everybody safe and allow us to keep working. And that was really daunting to me at first. Like, I think, frankly, I was kind of freaking out in the run-up to going up to Toronto to start the show. As a first-time showrunner, I was daunted by the notion of having to get all of this done under these daunting conditions of masks and shields and testing every other day, or whatever it was. But ultimately, it was interesting that doing the show under those conditions was a real bonding experience for all of us, because you're in a situation where you literally have to have each other's backs. Actually, I say that. It's not literal. It's figurative. We figuratively have to have each other's backs. We have to try to keep each other healthy for one another and not infect one another should one of us bring it in. So that was really bonding. So I think as we went into season two, where, you know, pandemic still in sway with the variants, and so we were still working under those conditions, but we knew we could do it, you know, because we were at that point sort of old war buddies who had been through the trenches together. So at this point, the notion of like shooting a show without all of those encumbrances, it's like, well, yeah, that's going to be smooth sailing if we ever get lucky enough to get to that situation.
Chucky, season two, now running simulcast Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. on USA Network and on Sci-Fi, that's Eastern Time, Pacific Time. And we've got the person behind Chucky. He's executive producer, writer, director Don Mancini. He joins us live from Los Angeles at our interview exclusive on this special edition of Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Don, I've been with you live from New York. Happy to have you with us. On and off rain expected this afternoon tonight here in the Big Apple. If you have a question or comment for Don, bring that question or comment in at 646-652-2906 or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up for our second half hour, we will have from New York, Jerry Leo, the Chief Content Officer of fast-rising Spanish language service, Canela Media. On Monday night, his flagship service, Canela TV, launched Pone Canela. It is a new weeknight entertainment news program, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and he'll be here in our second half hour to talk all about it, plus news notes, quickies. And tomorrow on our program, my lead guest will be from the new CW series, Family Law, creator executive producer Susan Nielsen. Show is a big hit in Canada. Victor Garber from Godspell and Titanic among the co-stars. And now it's here on the CW on Sunday nights. And Susan will be here to talk all about it. Susan Nielsen from Family Law tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, our regular time period right here on Tomorrow will be televised. How long, Don, had you thought with all the Chucky movies that you did, either as writer or writer-director or writer-director-producer, what was sort of the turning point to say, okay, I'm going to make this set of films, I'm going to turn it into a television franchise?
I first started thinking about turning it into a TV show when I was working on Hannibal a few years ago. That Hannibal, other than having written or co-written a Tales from the Crypt episode for HBO a million years ago, I had never really worked in television before and certainly had never had the writer's room experience. Hannibal was my first time for that, and I loved it. And I loved seeing how Brian Fuller, who was the showrunner, I loved seeing how he harnessed the enthusiasm for the Hannibal franchise that all of these different writers, myself included, once I got there on season three, brought to bear on this endeavor. And I realized if I did the same thing for my own franchise, brought in a bunch of like-minded horror geeks, and in this case specifically Chucky fanatics, I realized that that could help elevate the franchise. I mean, just the very nature of making a television show, really, it's such a team sport. I mean, movies are too, of course. It's always a very collaborative thing. But on television, you know, I'm sharing, I'm working alongside a lot of other very smart, talented writers and directors and producers, a lot of smart people working together to make this good. And I think the collaborative nature of television has itself elevated the Chucky franchise as I had hoped. So that's been really exciting to see.
Mm-hmm. Were there any pitfalls that you had to overcome to make sure that the series was how you wanted it to be?
Well, I don't know that they were, you know, just, you know, you always have the usual pitfalls of time and money. I mean, on anything you do, movies, TV shows, you're always working within those parameters and you have to make it work. And in television, it's even a little more improvisatory and in the moment, and you have to be really flexible because things can change on a dime. So that flexibility is really important. Now, I'm like as I'm babbling away, I forgot what the original question was. Oh, the pitfalls. That applies to, you know, any endeavor in show business, really. I think specifically for the Chucky TV show, one of the things I had to ensure from the network is that we would be able to have a certain degree of violence and profanity, because that's just an intrinsic part of what the franchise is and who Chucky is. People want to hear and see Chucky kill people violently while spouting his F-bombs. So I had an initial concern about, oh, is that going to fly? And it did, as I found out, that we are allowed, I think, 10 F-bombs per episode. So Chucky can do his thing unencumbered. So I don't think anyone came to the TV show in season one and felt like, oh, he's constrained. He wasn't constrained at all. I think he's this is sort of the apotheosis of Chucky.
Mm-hmm. What's it like to work with Brad Dourif, the voice of Chucky and Jennifer Tilly and all the other people that you come to have as a repertory company, first for the movies and now for the series?
Constantly thrilling and inspiring to work with these amazing actors, and in the case of Brad Dourif and Jennifer Tilly, justifiably Oscar-nominated actors. A lot of what we do, frankly, is driven by an effort to just give these actors cool shit to do, you know? I don't take it lightly. I think, we're in a really enviable position to be working with such talented actors. So a lot of times when I start thinking about, the movie, or in this case, the season of the show, I'm thinking, what new challenges, what new subtle variations on the Chucky persona in Brad's case, or our continuing dissection of, Jennifer Tilly's image and what that means. It's just driven by the raw talent of these performers and wanting to give them cool stuff to do.
Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago, AMC Networks had a interesting press event here in New York, and one of the panels they did was about horror, using people from Shudder, their horror service that's available on smart sets and devices, and also people from some of their individual AMC shows, like Interview with a Vampire, which launched earlier this month. And one of the themes was that horror has become a way, an avenue, a bridge to exploring serious issues, as you do with the Child's Play films and now Chucky the series, whether the issue is racism, as the case in the Jordan Peele movies like Nope and Get Out, being gay, being lesbian, being transgender, being disabled or physically challenged. What do you think about that? Because it sounds like for you, with Chucky, some of that is top of mind, that horror can be an avenue to showcase an issue or to, like as Rod Serling did in The Twilight Zone way back when, was to showcase the human condition in science fiction and fantasy terms.
Yeah, I think absolutely any TV show or movie, regardless of the genre, it needs to have – your story needs to have subtext and metaphor. It has to be about something. It can't be merely about a two-foot-tall doll who says fuck a lot and stabs people. I mean, it has to have something underneath that makes it resonate within the zeitgeist that you're operating in at the time. And I think the best movies and TV shows, regardless of genre, have always done that. And a lot of, you just mentioned a bunch of them in the horror genre. I think that the horror genre is kind of uniquely suited to that because you're often dealing with the supernatural. I mean, I'm a lot of times people ask me like, oh, do you believe in ghosts, or you must, love serial killers in real life? And actually, I don't. I'm not, I don't read books about serial killers. That stuff kind of disturbs me. I've never had any kind of supernatural experience in my life, although I'd be open to it. But as a writer and director, what I'm interested in is the metaphor. And again, because horror deals with extremes of emotion, and deals with, some of our most primal impulses regarding fear and anger and things like that, I think the best way into that stuff is obliquely, because sometimes to confront it too head on, it can just be unpleasant or too on the nose and too obvious. So coming at it from the side, I think, allows you to address certain things in a way that puts people in a more receptive frame of mind, or, they're in a place where they're surprised at what they're taking in, if that makes sense. So it's just something I love about working in the horror genre is getting at the subtext and metaphor to actually what's going on in the world. It's especially important in television, in my opinion, because you're not just dealing with a 90 minutes of story. You're dealing with 8 hours of story in our case for a season. So in order to sustain a story for that long, it really has to be more about characters and relationships than about plots. So I think, as I said, it's just more important in a television show to get at stuff that people care about and that reminds them of the world they're living in and the lives that we're living now.
You're hearing Don Mancini. He is the executive producer, writer, and director of Chucky, the popular USA Network sci-fi simulcast. Next episode is next Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, and he's live with us from Los Angeles this hour in an intermediate exclusive interview here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tommy, I'm with you live from New York, 57 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for Don or I'm ending this with him, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by then. Coming up in our next half hour, we've got our classic trivia question of the week. We introduced it on Monday's episode. You correct answer. We've got three prizes in store for you, including an AMC Networks notepad and notepad case, which I think you'll really enjoy. Brand new version of that popular product at AMC Networks. So that's one of our plus two best-selling books as well, including both of them from recent guests on this program. So stay tuned near the top of the hour. You could be our latest classic trivia winner. And in case you don't know, I now do a TV sports gig on Sports Grid. That's the network available on smart TV sets and smart devices Wednesday afternoons between 2 and 3 on the popular weekday afternoon show Sports News View. It's all about the world of TV sports, and you can catch me on that service, as I said, Wednesday afternoons between 2 and 3, usually in the second half hour, on Sports Grid, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Don, do people confuse Chucky with other devil dolls in TV and movie lore? For example, the famous doll Dan Curtis made famous in Trilogy of Terror?
They confuse them, but I certainly think horror fans definitely are aware of the lineage and are aware of the inspiration that those other dolls provided, just like that one in Talking Tina from the Twilight Zone.
Right, the living doll.
And there was yeah, exactly. So I don't think people get confuse them, because I think they all have their own specific identities. But they do seem to – I do like to imagine that they're all, like, in either a club or a support group or something, like a support group for killer dolls. That's an amusing thing to contemplate. Sounds like an episode of television.
You know what? What if we had a Talking Tina or Talking Tina-type doll versus Chucky episode? Or maybe they fall in love and create great crimes together.
Well, I think the initial problem would be that Tiffany would get incredibly jealous. I mean, even though at this stage in our mythology, they are officially kind of on the outs and at each other's throats, but they sort of have been living this roller coaster relationship over the years. So I don't think they're done with each other. So I think Tiffany would be very jealous. So if I were Talking Tina in that situation, I'd be watching my back.
Okay. Point taken. How long do you see Chucky going?
As long as people want to see it. I love doing it. I think all of us do. I actually was talking to Jennifer recently. We were up in Toronto doing season two, and we were just really loving the experience of getting of doing this 2 years in a row. It's really the first time we've come back so quickly. When we've done the movies, we're usually down for 2 or 3 years or whatever, but getting to come back almost instantly, we really like it, and I'm up for doing it as long as people want to see it.
And in this era of franchises, any thoughts about spinoffs?
Yes. Thoughts, conversations, late night, sleepless nights of making such things work. I can't say too much about it at this point, but yes, many, many thoughts about those things.
Mm-hmm. Where do you see your career going? Do you want to, because you've had a great track record in horror and suspense. You mentioned Tales from the Crypt, the great anthology series from HBO, You also have with Channel Zero, that Nick Antosky is now doing Friends of the Family for Peacock, is involved
right.
with. Any thoughts about doing other kinds of shows at some point?
I would love to. I love, for example, comedy. I'm a huge comedy fan, and you know, there's a lot of comedy threaded in and out of our franchise. I mean, and I also want to direct more too. As a director, I've done 3 feature films and now 2 episodes of television. I'd really love to do more and get more experience. I want to get better at it, you know, and the more you do it, the more experience you get. One of the things I love about working on the show is that I've learned a lot from my fellow directors. You know, these are directors who individually, each of them has like 40 to 50 hours of material under their belts, you know, over the course of, you know, 20 to 30 year careers. So they're incredibly experienced and talented. I've learned a lot from them, and it makes me eager to do more. So yeah, I want to do more stuff that's inside the Chucky universe, outside it. I have other ideas. I'm hopeful, fingers crossed.
By the way, when you work with other directors, do you try to use directors who have had experience in the horror genre, or do you want to, you know, take people who are sort of newbies to this? They've done other things, whether it's straight drama or comedy or dramedy, and see how they use their chops to do the kind of work you do.
Both. The answer is both, actually. I mean, some of the directors, people like Jeff Renfro, who directed the season 1 opener this year. He has a big background in horror, and he's very technically adept, and he loves, you know, trying to figure out, you know, how do you make Chucky work? He's just like someone who's a bit of a gearhead, and so he's uniquely suited to the challenges of bringing a puppet to life because it involves a lot of mechanics and personnel and problem solving. But then at the other end of the spectrum, I've worked with a director named Samir Rahim who hadn't had a lot of experience in horror, but he had a lot of experience directing kids, and he was really adept at stylization. One of the shows he had worked on was a show about ballet dancers, a ballet school, a Canadian show. And so he, in his work on that show, had staged a number of musical numbers, and I love bringing that kind of stylization into the Chucky world. So I like working with people with a whole array of different specialties.
Incidentally, I believe that show was called Breaking Point, not to be confused with the 1960 series. Both series are available on YouTube, just, you know, episodes of both, and both good shows, too. Again,
yeah.
Chucky, you can catch it on Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, both on USA Network and on Sci-Fi, both on at the same hour. For more details about the show online, go to www.usanetwork.com or sci-fi, S-Y-F-Y.com. That's usanetwork.com or sci-fi.com. Chucky, next episode coming Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Don Mancini, Mr. Chucky himself, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a delight to have you with us this half hour. All the very best to you and Brad and Jennifer and your whole production crew to keep making your series and further adventures, hopefully on the way for a long time to come.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Same here. Take care. Have a very fantastic rest of the week.
You too. Take care.
Don Mancini of Chucky joining us live from Los Angeles. When we come back, we'll have more News No Quickies. And there's one, if you heard about the Netflix situation, wait till you hear about what Apple TV Plus may be doing as early next year. Plus, we will have from Canela Media, Chief Content Officer Jerry Leo. He is the executive producer of Ponle Canela, the new weeknight entertainment news program on the flagship service, Canela TV. And our classic trivia question as well. All coming up after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, streamer.com, tune.com. Together, reaching over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you love wonderful morning radio, check out Kings of the Morning. Jay King and his group do it to you every weekday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. That's Kings of the Morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, Best Be Charged 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Thursday afternoon, the 13th of October, 2022. Sunday, I'm with you live from New York, 67 degrees at the top of the hour. Another great guest coming your way in the half hour ahead. And we invite you to get involved with your phone calls and chat room reaction. The phone number you use, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. In case you missed our first half hour, we broke the news that Netflix is all systems go on launching a U.S. lower-priced ad-supported version on November 3rd. It's going to be called Netflix Basic with Ads. Service is going to cost $6.99 a month, or $3 from the ad-free price. 4 to 5 minutes of commercials per hour. Individual ads will be 15 or 30 seconds in length. Basic with Ads will also be offered in 12 countries. And even though we'll be on November 3rd, Canada and Mexico will start the service up on November 1st, 2 days earlier. Before we get to our next guest, let's give you some more news notes, as in news note quickies. Apple TV Plus exploring the launch of a limited advertising format next year. No public comment from Apple on this development, covered by entertainment and technology websites this morning. More Apple TV Plus happenings. Zooey Deschanel will join the cast of Physical for season 3 expected next year. It's Deschanel's first TV series role since 2018, when New Girl finished 7 seasons on Fox. Trevor Noah will sign off as host of The Daily Show December 8th. TTV, the new network from Kiki Palmer, will begin November 3rd. No word yet on how it will be distributed. And after a controversial backlash earlier this week, Warner Brothers' long-running TV directing and writing diversity workshops will not, repeat, not be dropped. Instead, management of both undertakings will move from Warner Brothers Television to Warner Brothers Diversity Unit. And that is news notes for today. Over the last couple of years, we've been showcasing a fast-rising Spanish language service called Canela TV and its other services under the umbrella title of Canela Media. Well, that flagship service, this past Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, launched a brand-new weeknight entertainment news program known as Ponle Canela. And here to talk about that and what else is popping at Canela Media, the chief content officer of the service and the executive producer of this program, Jerry Leo. Jerry, thanks for being with us.
It's nice to be here.
First of all, how are things going with Ponle Canela?
It's going amazing. So, you know, we launched on Monday, and, you know, I'm just really, really happy with how it's looking. A very, very fast-paced entertainment news show, and you know, it's very internationally centric. It's basically global, but everything targeted to Latinos. And I can't be happier with the results. Really, really fast-paced show. It just covers so much.
How is it formatted, let's say, compared to other shows of this kind, both English and Spanish?
Well, it's cleverly, it's under Alejandro Medina, who also runs our news show. He and his team have divided it up into segments, trailer of the day, top stories, Latin power, story behind songs, behind the scenes, a glimpse at paparazzi. We have segments cross-promoting all our other Canela shows. Now we have a big slate of originals, so, you know, we're happy to, you know, with big stars. So we're happy to be promoting them here as well. You know, he's dividing it up in segments, and they just move very quick. It feels like it's set up perfectly for the TikTok age. You know,
and we'll talk about some of the other originals that are popping up at Canela Media, specifically Canela TV, a little later on in our conversation. But talk
Great.
About the person who's hosting this, Alex Garza. Where did you find her?
She is she's fantastic, and we found her. She's, you know, the show is shot in Mexico City. She is, well, you know, very highly regarded there. She hosts a high-rated, one of the highest-rated radio shows for Gen Z there. She's also won a reality show in Mexico, and she is on Azteca TV. So we're very lucky to have her, and she's a dynamo. You know, that so much of this kind of format is shaped by the host and their personality, and she just brings a lot to it. Really charismatic, really charming, very pretty, and just, you know, stylish. You know, she's bringing so much more. Really, the Alex Garza show in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. How long has Canela looked at doing this kind of entertainment news program? And what finally made you and everybody there say, okay, We want to finally do it. Let's pull the trigger and make it happen.
You know, what happened was I got here and realized that when I got here, there wasn't a lot. I didn't think the general market was covering all the Latino celebrity stories that were happening. I mean, this is, in 2022, Bad Bunny had the number one album, you know, and you didn't really see him besides award shows heavily on other networks. And you know, Ariana DeBose won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress. Again, you saw her host Tony's, but you didn't see her on a lot of shows. Some, but not that many. And Encanto was such a big movie. At that time, I realized that there was a white space in the Latino celebrity world. So I was looking to do that with several new shows when I got to Canela. And the entertainment news was very logical. We've been already successful with our newscast, so it made sense to make a companion to it with Conley and Canela.
Jerry Leo is the Chief Content Officer of Canela Media, and he's the Executive Producer of Canela TV, the flagship service's new weeknight entertainment news program known as Conle Canela. It's on 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and Jerry joins us live here in the Big Apple this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy you're with us, too, on this Thursday afternoon. Simon Avalon with you live from New York, 67 degrees at the bottom of the hour. A question or comment for Jerry, make the phone ring, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Tomorrow on our regularly scheduled edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, we will have as our lead guest the creator and executive producer of the new CW series Family Law, which premiered at the start of the month, Susan Nielsen. Started in Canada, now it's in the United States. Victor Garber, you may remember him from Godspell, Titanic, and all sorts of other movie and TV roles. He's one of the co-stars of this show. It's Family Law. It's on Sunday nights on the CW. And Susan Nielsen will be joining us to talk more about that tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Jerry, what's it been like to get the motion picture, the TV studios, production companies to buy into, you know, developing material with you for this series?
For Ponle or for in general across all the different series?
For Ponle.
And for Ponle, it's been very... we've had great cooperation, a lot of enthusiasm, and you know, we've had access to great bookings, and it's been going very well.
And who are some of the celebrities you've had on so far?
Well, I can tell you, we're having so we have a show called Secretos de Vianas, and it features six of the biggest telenovela villains ever. And so we've had them, exclusive interviews with them, each one of them, Gabby Spanik and various others. They've been on each day this week. We've also done segments on Lizzo and Harry Styles. And we have big bookings coming ahead with Kate Castillo, who is obviously a big star with La Reina del Sur. You know, we have some exclusive access. She's doing a show called Mi Vida, about a biography show. So we shot there as well. And we got William Levy, who is another big Mexican star, telenovela star, crossover star. And we have some footage of him as well from his interview. And we were there shooting that as well.
Speaking of Kate Castillo, she and Rosalind Sanchez are co-starring in a new Peacock English language series called Till Jail Do Us Part. Very interesting sort of mob dramedy. Did you have a chance to talk with her about that project and how it's doing?
Yes, I believe she does reference that. And also we have Rosalind Sanchez in her own hour talking about her career on Mi Vida as well. So covering a lot of the amazing Latino talent out there.
And, of course, she is also the star of Fantasy Island, the Mr. Rourke character on Fox, which is into its second season with last summer's hits and back to that. Talk about your role as Chief Content Officer of Canela Media. How long have you been in that role, and what brought you to Canela?
So I had I joined in March, and I had a career at NBC Universal at various brands, but mostly at Bravo for 15 years. And I really liked the world that I had there, where I had program strategy as well as I worked with the production team. They were reporting into me, and it was just nice to have both strategy and the creative. And they offered me that at Canela, and it was also in a digital job, which I really was interested to try. So that's what was exciting to me. Also, I had consulted at Telemundo for about a year, years ago, and I really enjoyed that experience of learning the Latino marketplace. So the opportunity to work on it full-time, I was very excited to do that.
Before we get into what you've got up your sleeve in terms of new shows at Canela Media, both Canela TV and some of the other services you have, what's your sense of the overview of Spanish language television? Because now we have Televisa and Univision United. They now are in the mega content services with VIX and VIX Plus. One is ad-supported, one is not. You have Telemundo now doing work with Peacock through their streaming studios, and T Plus, which is what people do as far as part of both English and Spanish language shows. We have your service, we have Estrella Media, we have Western TV that launched earlier this summer. What's your overview of where we're at with Spanish language television?
Well, there's a lot of, you know, everybody's out there. It seems like it's definitely crowded, getting crowded, but, you know, I still think there is room, you know, for what our goals are. We, you know, we're just launching a wave of originals. We also have a sports, big commitment to sports and a lot of World Cup product that's coming. We have Canela Music that's doing, you know, a lot of original shows and it's been very successful. And we have, you know, wonderful acquisitions, novellas and movies and, you know, that are international from all over the world. So, you know, I know that there are other brands, but I do think we're, you know, what is different here is, you know, we're owned, and you've interviewed Isabel Rafferty, she, you know, is minority owned, and it's Latina for Latinos, you know, you know, strategy is very curated. And there's so much content. And, you know, just I think our strategy feels very good and feels like we have our own growing world and ecosystem.
Let's break down what's new and coming. Start with Canela TV. What are some of the other, besides only Canela, what are some of the other new shows that are coming up rest of this year and into 2023? At Canela TV.
Yeah. So we just did we had a film festival. Canela had a film festival last year for aspiring Hispanic filmmakers. And the winner was a guy named Julian Nunez. And he did an amazing short film. And then we gave him an opportunity to produce a special called Between Borders. And that premiered last week. And that's fantastic. He's also going to be interviewed in Pony Canela. And then the big one is next week. The, you know, as I mentioned, the six iconic novella stars coming together in the Cretos de Viana. It's a reality show. It starts with a reunion, and then they go on vacation together in the second part of it. And it's 12 hours, and it's dramatic and also amazing access to the real lives, to the real personalities. These very big, beloved novella queens. So very happy about how this has come out. And then Mi Vida, we're working with the production company that did Lorena Del Sur, JK Media, on the celebrity biography series. And that's what I mentioned before with Kate Del Castillo, William Levy, Rosalind Sanchez, many others. And it's that feels like that could do very, very well. I found that there wasn't a lot of content out there Latino biography shows. So that's coming. And there'll be many more announcements. There's a whole wave of shows coming in the next year. I've been busy.
Yeah. Jerry, one of the big issues still with Spanish language television has been in the area of scripted series, made for TV movies, and the air series both weekly and nightly, which is that the vast majority of these shows are done in Mexico, done in Puerto Rico, done in Spain, and Latin America. That there are very, very few shows done in the United States with U.S. Latino people on both sides of the camera. And that's in spite of the fact that certainly there is a lot of production places, whether it's here in New York or in Miami or in Texas or Chicago or Albuquerque or Arizona, Los Angeles, that could certainly be places to do original series, scripted series. Well, what is the Canela philosophy about getting into that marketplace and jumping in and stimulating it?
Well, we're definitely open to, we have shows in development that are being shot in the United States by Hispanic production companies, Miami, Texas, LA. So, we're focused, we're definitely, we have shows also being produced in Mexico, but, we're definitely taking pitches and supporting all these, the great talent in U.S. Hispanic market. Very open to wherever the best idea is from, that's what's driving it.
Since you're based in New York, Andy Castillo, as you know, is the head of the mayor's office on the entertainment. Have you ever talked to her about originating a scripted show or an unscripted show in New York?
No, we have never had that conversation, but yeah, that's interesting. Would love to work with her in New York or anywhere.
Yeah, Anna has done a fantastic job in the wake of the pandemic the last couple of years, bringing New York production back. More and more shows are being done, especially scripted shows. I think it's like now 70+ that are being shot in New York, and is either run this year or will run before end of year, and certainly in 2023. She's been at that role now for 2 years. Mayor Adams. Eric Adams brought her back for this year and beyond, and it's going to be great if they would get involved.
Yes, I think it's fantastic.
I know. Let's move to some of the other services. What about Canela Music? What kind of new shows are you doing there?
Excuse me, in Canela, in other parts of Canela Media.
Right. Yeah.
Did it?
What kind of you mentioned earlier that there are some new shows you're doing there, original shows. What are they?
Oh yeah, that's under Mario Torres, and his team has done a slew of great shows. The big one right now is about rising talent. It's called Rising Notes, and that's doing very well. He has a kind of a pop up video type show called Beats and Bits. That's fun and. He has, Desiree Reyes, the Road to Fame of artists. He has a slew of originals. And this one called Scroll, which is hosted by an influencer, Emma Mizrahi. And it's kind of like she recreates the things that are popular on TikTok and talks about trending topics from TikTok in this fun, fast show. And she also has her own talk show called Couch to Emma, and she's quite charming. So, yeah, he's got a whole world going on there.
And when it comes to running music or music video programming, what seems to be most popular with the audience in terms of genre?
It's a good question. They both have their niches. News is a consistent performer. It really is driven by what's going on in the news. The bigger incidents that are happening will drive the numbers up, music's pretty steady. It has multiple music video divisions, collections and channels, and they tend to do well, pretty steadily. And news, I think, also is pretty big, but you can definitely see an uptick, if there's the hurricane or the earthquake or, some big headlines. They always drive it. And I think that's probably consistent with all these guests.
Other Spanish language networks have had great success with award shows they've created, like Premio Nuestro and the Latin Grammy Awards at Univision, Telemundo with the Billboard Latin Music Awards. They just got the new Latin American Music Awards with the English language version, of course, on ABC. Any thought about Canela launching its own award show in a particular music genre?
Actually, I've had conversations with different companies about doing that. I think we're a few years away from that, but, certainly pulling Canela will be at all of them. So the plan is for them to, for the team and you know, correspondents or Alex being at all of them on the red carpet. And we'd love to do, you know, extensive red carpet coverage. So.
Jerry Leo is Canela Media's chief content officer. He's also the executive producer of the new nightly entertainment news show, Ponle Canela, which is on 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. And he joins us live here in the Big Apple with me on this special Thursday edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. We have a question or comment in remaining minutes with Jerry. Make the call, 646-652-2906. Use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up, before we leave you, classic trivia question. We introduced it on Monday's show. And if first with the correct answer, you win a trio of great prizes. Jerry, what else in the pipeline with some of the other Canela stuff, like Canela News and some other things in the works?
Well, we're definitely in a place where we're exploring things like true crime. That's coming down the pike. We're doing original kids shows. We should be announcing at some point soon some really innovative, you know, kids shows that will be joining. We're launching, you know, Canela Kids is getting its own. It's got a big presence coming, and then you know, lots of great acquired content as well as originals. So those announcements are coming soon. We're looking at true crime. We're looking at, you know, all sorts of different genres. It's fun. You know, there's a cooking show in the works. We're trying to do things in with our own take on them. Always, you know, leaning into celebrity culture as much as we can. That tends to be the big through line.
So we're talking about things like lifestyle. Is game shows a possibility as well?
Yes. You know, I haven't seen a lot of those game show pitches. That's one thing we haven't seen a lot of. I'm certainly interested in that and open to that. But we haven't really even really came across too many of those yet. But I'm open to exploring them.
Yeah. What's it like for you? Is it like being a kid in a candy store with all these services under the head umbrella to work with and to play around with and sort of create new directions for them?
Absolutely. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah, there's so much we can do. There's so much, you know, Isabella and my boss, Michael Rafferty, her husband, who's a COO, are just, they're really open to growing and trying different things and very supportive. So yeah, no, we're really looking at so many different ideas and so many different acquisitions and different strategies. It's been very very invigorating for me. It reminds me a lot of Bravo. I've been at Bravo from the modern Bravo from pretty much, you know, the beginning of Real Housewives and Top Chef and Below Deck and all of those shows. And there is that same sort of spirit here. That I experienced then in the mid-2000s when we were building a lot of things there too. You know, people who have a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of internal passion for the brand.
We go, how about Canela News? How is that doing?
Which one?
Canela News.
Canela News doing great. Doing great. Very, very solid performer. And strong hosts. That have been, you know, that I think we can do more with and more new specials and keep growing that brand.
Ponle Canela, that is the new weeknight entertainment news program. It's on the flagship service Canela TV at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. Check the local listings where Canela Media, they're all their services. Canela TV includes available on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, and multi-channel bundles. For more details about the service online, the flagship service, go to www.canela.tv. That's www.canela.tv. Ponle Canela, weeknight, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Jerry Leo, Chief Content Officer at the parent company, Canela Media, thank you for joining us. It's also been a pleasure to have Isabel Raffery on as well. We'd love to have her back on again soon. Anyway, congratulations on everything you're doing on this new show. Hopefully running a great long time, and look forward to covering all the great things that Canela is doing all over the place.
Thank you so much. Enjoyed it.
Me too. Take care. Have a great rest of the week.
Thank you. You too.
Jerry Leo, Chief Content Officer of Canelo Media, joining us live here in New York. Now time, before we leave you on our classic trivia question, we introduce the question on Monday, and if you have the first with the correct answer, emailed, of course, you will win two great books, Tune In Tomorrow by Randy Dawn and Flirting with Fame by noted Hollywood PR guru Dan Harari. Both Randy and Dan were on recent episodes of this program. Also, the new AMC Network Notepad and Notepad Case. This is one of those classic, classic trivia questions. I mean, really classic in the world of television trivia. And here it is. Who was Joe Friday's first partner on Dragnet? We're talking about the original 1950 series. No, it was not Ben Alexander playing Frank Smith. It was a different person. I had a very short run for a couple of reasons. Who was Joe Friday's first partner on Dragnet, the original 1950 series? We will either take the actor's name or the character's name. Either one works as your answer. And if your first pick answer, you win all three of our classic trivia prizes. How do you get involved? You email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name where you're emailing from. If you're a previous winner or you're a guest of this program, you are not eligible. And let's see if we can get a winner today. If we don't, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. There's Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. And thank you, Twitter Nation. We now have 800 followers on Twitter. The 800 came in earlier this week. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I do post news notes, all sorts of other things on my Twitter feed. So check it out at Twitter.com. Again, I want to thank both of our guests for being here today, Jerry Leo, Chief Content of Canal Media, and Mr. Chucky himself, Don Mancini, who joined us in our first half hour from Los Angeles. I hope you enjoyed it. And remember, we are back tomorrow with our guest, Susan Nielsen, the creator and executive producer of the new CW series, Family Law. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up with episodes you missed, go to the homepage, lawandorderradio.com/televised. And if you missed the show, you can also check us out on podcasts in a few minutes. We are on Spotify, iHeartRadio Podcast Network, iTunes, Amazon Music, including Vizio Smart TV sets, and many other leading podcast sites, as well as our website, tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. It's tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. Remember, tomorrowwillbetelevised, hyphens between the words. We always love hearing from you, and we do respond to you, but let's hear from you. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Use social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. I do respond to what you have to say within 24 hours. That's our promise to you. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. Now I say those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toast, BTR General Manager, Jay Sonnenberg is Head of Content. Website service provided by On Podium, the Internet's new podcast outpost. Guitar Fakis is our web coordinator. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. We are back tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. Whatever you're doing between now and then, please make it safe. Please make it great. If you haven't been vaccinated, check in with your doctor. Check your medical history. Check out all the alternatives to shots and boosters that are available to you, in some cases, your local pharmacy, and in many cases, free of charge and without a prescription. And then make a great choice, your choice. Till the next time, stay well and stay tuned.